So I better be careful what I say now.
Yeah, because now it's recorded. Can you see okay through my glasses? Is that, I'm getting some reflection. I'm trying to really perfect this, but.
No, you're looking fine.
Okay. Okay, good.
I can see that I have reflection. I don't know how to stop it, but.
Yeah, it's intermittent and it's not that distracting. It doesn't cover up your whole eye or anything. So.
Okay.
But I mean, yeah, we with glasses need to be a little more careful.
I have to be careful with makeup and what I wear up here because I have PJs on the bottom. So up.
Yeah, so don't get up and walk around.
No.
I do the same thing.
I always put my own Zoom on first to see if everything looks halfway decent.
That's a good idea. Check yourself out.
I wished I still looked like my 40-year-old self, but I don't.
Well, you look great, and you look good on video, so no worries.
Oh,
and look at you. You've got beautiful nails and everything.
I do.
Very pretty.
They kind of match my hair.
Yeah.
My nail stylist or whatever you want to call them, she says, don't you want to change the color? I always keep the same color, always have. And I said, there's very few things I can control in this life, but I can control what color goes on here.
Hi, Carissa. She's not up. She's not up yet. Sound wise.
Hi.
Hi. Good to see ya.
You too.
You look pretty.
Thank you. I'm loving your green screen. It keeps developing.
See?
It keeps getting better.
It does, yeah. I love it.
I think I finally kind of got it. Mm-hmm. It only took me 10 tries.
Not bad.
Not too bad.
We're into the drama here, you know?
I know. Something has to go wrong or else we don't know what to do. Oh, my goodness. I got to whip my whistle here. I've got a Biotene dry mouth moisture spray. So
how does that work? Is that good?
Yeah, it's really good. It helps. I have because of medications, I have dry mouth and it helps me, you know, it can't keep it for the whole time, but you know, if I do this a couple times, then I'm pretty good. So yeah. And I use the toothpaste and the mouthwash and everything. I guess that's when you know you're over 50, when you got all the Biotene stuff.
Then I better be getting that stuff. Of course, I'm only 49, right, Carissa? Yes,
yep.
I am.
Yep.
I'm 49 and holding. I've been holding for 8 years, that's all.
I ain't talking.
So we'll hopefully get Ariana here pretty quick, and then we'll take off. And Katie's running a couple minutes late, so she'll get on the call. But we'll give Ariana just a little bit. There, that's Katie. Hi.
Hi, Katie.
Can you hear us okay?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Good. Well, I thought that Ariana would be here by now, but I'm sure she's on her way. Let me just double check on email to make sure. Yep, there's no email from her. So I will go ahead and get started. There she is. There she is. So there's Ariana. I'll go ahead and get started. Today we're going to talk about tips for creating ATS and smartphone-friendly resumes. And Chris will go over that, and that's a job search topic. And I'll go ahead and say the number, Chris, look at me. Beginning code is 447. The beginning code is 447. I did it on my own.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. And even though we may not, you know, some of us guide people on their resumes and some don't, either way, I think we need to know about how the world is changing with regard to applicant tracking systems, and you know, make sure that their resume writer is taking care of that, and also smartphone friendly, as Chris will talk about in a bit. Katie is going to talk about pre-work for the next career coaching practicum, and then we'll vote on future topics, and I've got about 10 topics, and we'll do a poll. And then from there, we're going to talk about ways to work with the career matrix without all the numbers for our intuitive clients and creative clients. And then we'll talk more about coaching other abled clients to identify career and find a job and deal with that kind of situation. So we're going to continue that from last time and do a coaching demo today. So I will throw it to Chris. I'm going to stop sharing. And now, Chris, you need to share your screen and you can take over.
Here we go.
Yeah, it's coming on now. Yeah, here we go. We got it.
Okay. All righty. Let me do this. There. Okay, I'm in, so we're going to go into the client pages. What I found, it really surprised me, you know, I work with clients on their resume, and they put it online, and then it seemed to just kind of disappear. Like it was really fit the job description, and then it went into a black hole. And I was wondering why that happened. So I started looking at the applicant tracking system and what things does it like and what doesn't it like. And in my research, I found it doesn't like a whole lot. So when I talked to Donna about it, I had pulled together my version of an ATS optimized resume, which we're going to see in a minute. So if you go to job search, and then you go to job search marketing collateral, and then to resumes, this is the new stuff that Donna has put out there based on my research.
Yeah, let me say one thing, Chris. So one thing I did to this page is I pulled all of the links up to the top so that it would be easier to find them and see them. So you've got the resume writers, the resume examples, resume tips, articles on alternatives to resumes, and also the tips that Chris put together, resume tips for applicant tracking systems and readability on smartphones. So you've got just all the links at the top, and that last one is a new link. Okay, go ahead, Chris.
And Donna did that for me because I kept losing where the resumes were. So this makes it a lot easier. Where is it? So if we go to resume examples, this last one, the resume format, recruiter tested more complex handout, is the one that we typically use. Now, this is extremely good for someone who primarily hands out the resume to a recruiter or to someone who might be interested in a networking activity, wherever. It's a hard copy, really looks great, or emailing it to someone who's going to look at it. Wonderful. However, as Donna said, there are as many resume templates as people on this earth, and ATS may not care for this. Um, the resume format that I'm using, and I'll show that to you in a second, has this, it's the exact same thing, but all in ATS optimized format. So for 6 seconds, a recruiter or an HR manager is going to look at this. So as we see here, they're going to look at this top third of the page. They're going to look to see, okay, does this person fit the job description of a human resources generalist? That's where we put the major points that signify, yes, these are things that a human resource generalist does, and I bring that to the table. So we changed the competencies to human resources skills, and these are the skill sets that support these areas that are in the job description as well. And then the bottom part, which is if they're interested, they're going to look at that further, is the human resource generalist experience that documents, I do these things with these skills. So all of that is really good. But we have three challenges when we use the ATS system. The first is, can we submit it into ATS and it's not being rejected outright? The ATS system would most likely reject this particular format. And I'm going to go through some of the things that we do and some of the things that we don't, but other people, when they come as a client, may have in their resume. First of all, ATS doesn't like any designations or degrees after the name. They don't like fancy fonts or fancy bullets. They don't like these bullets. They don't like lines that touch another's text. So here or underlining are not acceptable. Over here, we have a table. No tables, columns, sidebars, or pullouts, no graphs, charts, or text boxes, no pictures, images, logos, watermarks, or shading. And we have the tips all listed, so when we go back to the main part, you'll be able to see that. It doesn't like italics. The date format, it really prefers month, day, year. And when we save it, we need to look at what the ATS requires. And usually, they only want Word format, text, or real text. They do not like PDFs, HTML, or open office formats. In other words, no fancy resume templates. Just recently, I had a client come to me and he had a border all the way around and it would not have gone in at all as well. So it doesn't like anything like that. So what is accepted? Well, here's the other PDF. This is the handout example that can be used for your cell phone as well. Lines that don't touch, simple bullets, caps, and tabs. That's what it's looking for. Doesn't want anything fancy, and I know this is longer than usual. The fonts, it's specific on fonts. It likes sans serif fonts, Arial, Times New Roman, Calibre, Verdana. Font size 10, 12, or 14, no colored fonts. So it's very general, very simple. What I have done with my clients, because I really like the other more complex format, but because they're going and sending out or handing it out in networking events, as well as applying to online I've given them the ATS optimized version that they can use, and all they need to do is expand or contract the margins. The one thing, anyway. I can't get it to stop.
It happens to all of us.
Jeez, the one I...
I put it in my drawer sometimes.
Yeah, I think I'm going to. I usually get it on my other phones and I put them all away except for that one. I'll figure it. Anyway, the second challenge after you've finally gotten it into ATS is to make sure that it matches the job description as well as possible. So you need to look at the job description and the keywords and pepper your resume with it without adding too many within the resume, because it looks like you're stacking it. ATS doesn't like that. So things like, and I found this on one of the job descriptions that we were working on with this particular client. We had strategic planning. It was looking at strategic direction. So we had to change the wording so that it would mention strategic direction. That helps it get to be higher in the rankings. The third challenge is that it needs to be easily read on a smartphone, because the majority of recruiters and HR managers, they look at the resumes on the cell phone, which means they only have 6 seconds. They're only going to look at it very quickly. So you want to make sure that on the cell phone, they can read the entire side. You're not rolling back and forth, scrolling back and forth, because that just eats up that 6 second time limit. So what I suggest to clients is to send their resume with the larger margin at 1.25 inches on either side to themselves so that they can see that they can read it easily on their cell phone. So when it goes into the ATS system, it should be cell phone ready. It should have the format where it's not going to reject it. And it needs to be able to match the job description as well as possible, so it becomes higher up in the rankings. When a HR manager or a recruiter goes to the ATS system, they'll pull off the higher ranking resumes, and there'll be a synopsis by the ATS system that says this is why it's at this particular ranking, and it will also give you the resume. They look at it on their cell phones usually, and then they make a decision whether or not they're interested or not, or they need to send it on. So to sum it up, there's three challenges. The first is the resume must be ATS optimized, content applicable to the job description, and smartphone ready.
Yes. And do you want to quickly show the smartphone version? It's a little bit narrower.
Absolutely. Where is it? Here we go. That would be this one, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's weird.
I have a hard time with this. So I'm going to put it on my desktop. Okay. Now I'm going to have to...
You know, that's okay, Chris. I can show it.
You're going to have to, because
okay.
This is...
Okay, so you want to stop sharing your screen so that I can share mine.
Stop share. There we go.
Okay, and I will share mine. So the couple of things. One is that. Okay. So if we job search, and this is how to get to it. Job search marketing collateral, which I've now put the marketing collateral in there, so people know what that means. Not everyone knows what that means. Resumes, and then for the examples, resume examples. And then the smartphone to optimize, what you'll see is it's narrower so that it will fit on the iPhone screen. Also what's here that Chris has so kindly created for us is the tips, which is on the previous page. And so this gives the list of all the tips that she's given for the ATS and then also for readability on smartphones. So the main thing on the smartphones is the margin has to be 1.25. So it's just a little bit bigger margins. And so I just want to thank Chris for doing all of this and making a huge effort in getting all this information together. I want to also demonstrate how to discuss ATS with a client, because not all clients know, especially if you get a client that's been in the same job for 25 years, they have no idea what an applicant tracking system is. And Katie, if you wouldn't mind demonstrating how to describe that, I'm going to pick on you if that's okay.
Well, it's interesting. I was in a webinar last week or whenever, and they were talking about the artificial intelligence of the ATS system, you know, because AI is a big thing now in the process, and how it's actually helping the whole ageism thing. Because if a recruiter looks at your resume straight away, they're going to automatically start judging how much experience you have. Oh, how old is this guy? Blah, blah, blah. Where they say the artificial intelligence, there's no bias. So they're strictly looking for keywords, and then if the keywords are in there, they shoot it to the recruiter. So just FYI,
people are worried about aging. Although I'll give you a counterpoint to that. Amazon just got in trouble because they found out that it's AI, or didn't get in trouble, but in trouble with AI. They found out that his AI had a gender bias towards men. And so we're going to be seeing a lot of things go back and forth here, but it learned on its own which ones were men and gave men the preference. So there's going to be a lot of issues going back and forth. It's like, it'll be good, and then over here it'll be bad. And so, yeah, it's kind of funny.
How does it do that?
I don't even know. They didn't explain it. I don't think they want to explain it, but I could see how it...
Whoever created the software.
Yeah, I could see how it might propagate ageism too, though, because it's still going to look at what year you got your degree or how many jobs you have back, or, you know, so it could still...
Yeah, but you know what? We, over at RiseSmart, we talked to some recruiters, and we actually did a recruiter survey, and they said that they don't... You know, the date on the degree is not important to them.
Good.
So it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it just sometimes you run into a recruiter that does.
Yeah, it just depends.
And I've seen it happen. But so I want you to pretend that you're talking to a client, and I want you to tell them about, and they don't know anything about what an applicant, and tell them.
So I would tell them that the ATS is an applicant tracking system, and most companies have them, to sort through the barrage of resumes that they get, because they get a ton of resumes and a lot of people are not qualified for the job. And so how that system works is it's all based on keywords on your resume. Keywords and the formatting of the resume. And so it's real important that you take the job description, that you put the keywords in your resume, and that you have it formatted and a template to where it's not going to get spit out by the ATS system. Once you have that keyword cloud match, then you go on to the recruiter. It goes, you know, they'll push you to the recruiter versus spitting you out and saying, thank you, but we're not interested. Because some people will tell me, gah, I applied and like within 5 minutes, I got a note saying they weren't interested. I said, yeah, nobody's looking at your resume. And here's why. Yeah. And so one of the things I put in the chat box is there's two free Word Cloud sites that I give clients all the time, wordle.net and wordship.org. So they can download the JD and get the keyword cloud of what to put in their resume.
Excellent. Excellent. So then they can see how often something is appearing or whether it's appearing.
Yeah. And there's also jobscan.co. I don't know if any of y'all use that.
What is it?
Jobs. I'll put it in the chat.
Jobscan.com.
Co.
Okay.
It's great. It's highly analytical. I tell people don't spend all day on it, please, doing your resume. Use it as a guide.
Yep. What were the other two websites that you mentioned?
It's in the chat box. Just open up your chat box.
And I'm going to put it up on the page afterwards too.
Thank you. So I've got a question. With respect, when you submit your resume through the ATS system, can you, if it spits it out, can you modify it and submit it again, or are you penalized for?
That's a great question.
Well, when I was doing the research, it said that you don't have to send it back in because the ATS system has it already stored. So I'm not sure if they if they keep your resume, whether it's a yes or a no. But it said you didn't have to put it back in. Now I have done that with people, and the second time they did get a response from an interview. So it's kind of rather strange.
Hit and miss. Times. I would have them do it. I don't think it takes that long to put it in. So you might as well, if you get spit out, you might as well try again.
Sure.
Well, and here's the other thing. Is I had a client last week who said she had a resume professionally done, and she said, but she's penetrating all her jobs, right? So she's contacting the hiring manager, the recruiter, colleagues inside the organization. She got to the hiring manager, this one job, and she was a perfect fit for the job. She got spit out, and they said that she wasn't interested. And she got to the hiring manager, and the hiring manager said, the reason you were spit out was because you had bullet points, right? And you had the lines, like you were saying, Chris. And it was for Rockwall Automation. And she ended up getting an interview because she got to the hiring manager and the recruiter. So that's another reason to tell clients you've got to follow up. Just apply and think that, oh, I'm out. If you haven't talked to anybody in the company, you don't know that. Because anything could happen with an ATS system.
Great. Okay. Any other comments or questions? Okay. Thank you, Chris, for doing all this work. It's really helpful. It's going to be really helpful to our clients. We appreciate it. It's a wonderful contribution.
Thank you.
So, Katie, you want to talk about next session? So Katie is going to lead our next career coaching practicum in November, and she has some pre-work for you.
And I'll send this in an email following up this call. But the first one, and I have to tell you, when Donna asked me to do this, I thought, oh, this is perfect, because this is what I need to do. Great. So the first round will be introductions. So what I'd like us to do is go around and share our elevator pitch with each other.
Sorry, would you say that again?
Share your elevator pitch, your value proposition. So, you know, where they live and what is your 30-second elevator pitch? And then we'll go around and we'll share a smart story or a star story from a successful career client that we can share with a prospect. So, you know, situation, challenge, action, result that we got from from working with a career client. One for job search and one for career exploration.
You know, you're really stretching it here.
Hey, we need to do this. This is going to help our sales pitch. I need to do this. And then what question, any 1 to 3 questions, have been the most powerful when a client is looking to switch into another industry or another function? Because those are the most challenging clients. You know, when they're trying to figure out transferable skills and they're trying to figure out what can I evolve into next. So what questions work for you? And then whether it's GPS processes or processes you have independently, what processes do you have that really support the client in gaining clarity around their next move? Exercises that you have them do to gain awareness around what is next for me? You know, kind of those deep thought exercises. And then, what was the most difficult career client you had to work with and why? Because maybe we can support each other when we have a difficult client. You know, we can reach out to each other and tap in. And what resources have been most helpful with career clients for you? And then Donna's going to do a demo with a client, being a client. But I think it'll be good because I think we'll walk around with good feedback on our elevator pitch, our smart stories, and we'll learn other questions and processes we can use with our clients.
Great. Sounds wonderful. So she's getting us to do some work that's going to be valuable between now and then we're going to do work in the session that will be valuable. Ariana, do you have a?
You see,
I can tell.
Just wanted to clarify, Katie, on the value proposition or the elevator pitch. That's for the pitch that we would give as a coach, right? If we were meeting somebody for the first time. What kind of coach?
Yeah, so let's say we have a call with a new potential, right? They're interviewing three of us coaches at GPS. Right. Okay. How would I introduce myself?
Okay.
Because usually a value prop is going to say, you know, what your sweet spot is, your strengths within that sweet spot, and the metrics around that, the actual achievements you've had.
Yeah. Now, the one caveat to that would be you'd want to have more than one because, or you might modify it before you do a call with someone because if you say your sweet spot's something that's not what they need, they may decide you've just gotten yourself out of that running. So you need to tailor it around the client based on what you're hearing about what they need.
Yeah, and, you know, sometimes we have different elevator pitches, whether we're talking to a business client, an executive for executive coaching, or a job client or a career client.
Yeah.
So, but if we can, it was like I looked at Ariana's signature and I liked how you had business and career coach. You have both titles in there. And I thought, I'm going to change mine.
Yeah.
You know, so we can just learn from each other about how to. That sounds better. I think I'm going to use that.
Yeah, so it's more inclusive of all the different kinds of clients that you work with. I used to have three, and I've gone down to one now, but I used to have three. So that's going to be a lot of fun. I think that's going to be really valuable, and we will need to get some work done between now and when we meet.
November 5th.
Yeah, it's not that far away. So get to work. Wonderful. And you know, when I used to go out and network, I had five different elevator speeches in my glove compartment. And if I was at the HR organization, I'd pull that one out and read it a few times and use that when I went in. Or if I was at the business one, I'd pull that one out. So, you know, we need to niche as far as letting the target audience know that we can do what they need us to do, but we can have more than one target audience. And if so, then we have to have more than one way of communicating with them. It's a different web page. It's a different elevator speech. So it's tailored. Okay, great. Ariana, would you mind doing me a favor? Can you see the possible future topics here? Can you read them?
Okay, yes, I can.
Okay, so So I'm going to have you read them, but so I didn't have necessarily exactly what we are going to do in the next career coaching practicum. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you three votes, and this is kind of like multi-voting, which is a great decision-making process for leaders. And so you're going to vote three different ones that you want. And the first one, I may be able to bring a client in that's done a really advanced version of networking and have him talk about that. And so I just said possible because I'm not 100% sure I can do that one. And then Ariana, if you could read them, and then I will launch the poll.
Okay, so the possible career future topics for next session are advanced networking strategies, so the first one that Donna was talking about, LinkedIn update and coaching demonstration. Third, supporting clients who are seeking jobs that cut across industries. The fourth one is multi-step plans for switching careers. The next is client case reviews for career and job search. The next is selling job search or career exploration coaching. The next, new job onboarding. Interview preparation demonstration for job search clients. Looking for a new career or job within your company for job search. And pitching a job to a company.
Okay. And is there any others that you would like to add to that list of things that you'd like to see us do?
I don't know. I think, a really interesting one would just be having the whole ageism topic and getting people out of their stuck thinking that are really resistant.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've had four different clients like that. So.
Oh my God. Yeah. Some of them are just like, come on.
Yeah. Any other topics?
One that comes to mind for me is, and it could be a tuck-in topic with maybe something else, but is dealing with gaps in the resume or jumping around, like short contract assignments, you know, 2 months here, 4 months, year, you know, another 6 months. So really jumping around.
Mm-hmm.
So how to showcase those resumes in the best way possible.
So it's both resume and interviewing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And people who have left the workforce, you know, moms on mat leave, not even mat leave, but actually it wouldn't be mat leave, but who have left the workforce for a long time, you know, 5, 10 years and coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who's been ill coming back.
Caring for elderly.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of reasons. Wonderful. And I even had friends that left to travel for a year. So wonderful. So we will do a sub vote on those after we do the main vote. I'm going to launch the poll. And so you get three votes and you can just choose three topics out of those.
What is a client case review? Is that Smart Stories?
So it would be you guys, or I would bring in a case study of maybe of a difficult client, and we would go through it and look at the different places where it was challenging and help each other with it.
They're all good topics.
Oh, good. Okay.
I had a hard time trying to figure out which ones I really wanted.
Okay. I'll give you another 30 seconds to vote. And if you, because I haven't seen anyone vote yet.
I already submitted it.
Yeah, I submitted mine.
Really? Yeah. Oh, why is it not? Maybe when I end it, it gives me. So has everybody voted? No, so you're still working. Okay, 20 more seconds and then we'll, yeah, so maybe it doesn't show me. I thought it showed me before, but are you ready, Carissa?
Yeah, I just submitted.
Okay, so end the poll and hopefully I get, really? I got nothing. Darn it.
Oh, I see it.
Oh, you do it? You do see it? Okay, could somebody email it to me because I get nothing. Just pick out the top three and write them down. Ariana, would you do that for me?
Yeah, I can do that. Well, okay. the top 75% pitching a job to a company.
Okay, nice.
The next one is multi-step plans for switching careers. So both of those were tied at 75%.
Okay.
And then there were two that were tied for 50.
Okay.
Advanced networking strategies and supporting clients whose jobs cut across industries. So okay. I can put that into an email as well.
I got it. Okay.
I took a screenshot of the other one.
Oh. Awesome. Okay. And then how many people are also interested in the ageism topic?
Oh, I am for sure.
I am too.
Okay. So we've got full on ageism. So we might be able to put two of these together. And then what about gaps? Resume gaps or... Now we did talk about that to some extent in a previous session, but... So that one's not quite as on board. Okay. So I'll put it as, okay, perfect. Thank you for doing that. And now we are going to go on to ways to work with a career matrix without all the numbers. We've alluded to it, but we haven't actually done it and talked about it. So I wanted to give a couple different ways of doing that. And I'm trying to find, oh, here we go. Okay, so, and I will be putting this up later. I'm gonna ask for your ideas as well, but to start with, I'll give some ideas. And just as a reminder, our matrix normally would look like this. And have multiple numbers, and it's really good for analyticals. I've been able to get everyone to do it, but I know that some people enjoy it more than others, so I want to give some different options. And so the options I'm giving are to just ask, first of all, to ask the question, which of the careers should be removed from the list, because they may already see, you know, some that aren't matching up, and I do that every time. But and then I'm going to show you a simple matrix that doesn't have a weighting on the criteria, so it's a really simple one. You can also use yes, no for the numbers instead of, you know, 1 to 9. Yes, it has it, no, it doesn't have it, and then you can count up the yeses. You can have them just vote yes or no on each career. You can prioritize, so that would be a way to move the things around, just moving and making them prioritized. Here's one I've used once, which was paint a word picture of what the job would look like and then give it a yes or no. And that would be really good for visuals. And then maybe just asking which positions pique your interest for further exploration. And then after you would do that, you would go on to the same process of having 3 to 5 top and doing some informational interviewing and some reading and some investigation to narrow it down. Has anyone used a different way with someone that wasn't really a numbers person?
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
How do you do yes or no when they don't know? If they've never used the role before.
Well, even with the numbers, you sometimes have to support them.
Right.
So what you do is you ask them informed questions, the things you know about the job, you guide them. You say, well, my thoughts are it's this. Does that sound okay to you? Or you say, why don't you go do some research on the ONET or one of the other websites? And it becomes a research question. Does that answer it, Katie?
Yeah.
Okay.
The numbers are more, there's a wider range. So yes and no kind of definitive.
Yeah. It's, and then you'll see when, as we go through the examples, that it is not the most wonderful option. I really think the numbers are the best, but you know, this, I just want to give options in case somebody's just hard against doing it that way. So the simple matrix, and this is a matrix I've used quite often in decision making. Also, I just think that weighting the criteria helps because some of the criteria are usually more important than others. But in this case, say you had astronaut as an example, you don't have the weighting up there, so you just put a number in, astronaut, how creative? I would say a 5. Social intelligence, not maybe a 5 because you do have to get along with your fellow astronauts. Caution and prudence, I would say, is a 9. Gratitude, I'm going to say, is a 7. Fun, some people might think it's a 9. Some people might think it's a 1. You're going to get paid well. It's going to have benefits. It's going to have prestige. But it's going to take a lot of school. So I would say it's a 1 on that. So you can see that this matrix just totals the numbers. It doesn't multiply the criteria weighting. It just adds the numbers across the line there. And so it's just a little bit simpler if you feel like somebody needs to move quickly or if they're just not a numbers person, but you want to get some of the numbers in there. Do you think this would be helpful with some of your clients? Because if so, I'll put it up. If not, I won't put it up because it's just, you know, more moving parts. Do you guys think that you'd want to have this as an option?
I would.
I would like it as an option. I had a very artistic person who totally freaked out with the career matrix.
Okay, perfect. So this will be one example. A yes, no example, and I'll put this example up too so you can go back and look at it. Yes, no would be let's do therapist. Creativity, I say yes, it has creativity. It definitely has social intelligence. Caution and prudence, I think it has caution and prudence. Mm-hmm. I think it has gratitude. Some people would think it's fun and some not. So depending, you know, how they feel about it, I, you know, say maybe compared to kindergarten teacher, it's not as fun. So they might say no there. The pay is actually higher than social worker and kindergarten teacher, but there's no benefits, so that's a no. Prestige, you know, some people would say it has prestige and some wouldn't, but probably most people would say it has more than social worker. So then what you would do is you'd count up how many yeses, you know, in this case we've got 4, 6, so we've got 6 yeses. What you can see is that you don't get the granularity that you get with the matrix and the numbers, but it is still a valid way to use the criteria and not have to use numbers. Does this make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, and then we could give the client a choice, too.
Right. So, you know, I would say this is, you know, the numerical way is a way that really works with people who are analytical. It gives you a lot of detail. It gets you to really think about it. But I've got this other way, and you can see this would be a lot faster. It's just yes, no, yes, no. Any questions or comments on that?
So you would still take them through all the 3 assessments?
And you would develop the criteria, and I would do that for any of these. I would still develop the criteria. And if you don't do the assessments, if they don't want to do assessments, you can still interview them to get criteria. Mm-hmm. You can still ask questions to help them identify criteria. You can have them describe what they want and capture words from what they're saying. but you do still want criteria, I believe. So that's another way. And then another way would be to just give it a yes or a no. What I would do is I would go through a discussion. So, you know, when you think about kindergarten teacher, do you think it's creative? Do you think it has social intelligence? Do you think it has caution and prudence? And I would just go through them. And then once you've gone through all of them, then say, okay, so do you feel like this matches the criteria or doesn't match the criteria? And so then it would just be a yes or a no right there. Some people would be really good at keeping all that in their minds and they would have a gut reaction. And so you could just kind of lead a discussion through each of them. So that's another way. And then you could also do a prioritization where you would talk about each of these. You know, I'd go through and talk about, and, you know, hopefully there's more like 15 or so on here. Have a whole conversation, talk about what they would be like, what do you think you'd like about it, what wouldn't you like about it, and then say, okay, so let's prioritize these. You know, where does kindergarten teacher fall? Is it high or low? And I, you know, oh, it's medium. Okay, so I'm going to put it in medium. Okay, social worker, is it high or low? Oh, well, it's high. Okay, so I'm going to put that up here for you. Therapist, how's that feeling? Well, you know what? After talking about it, I think it's coming out pretty low. So I'm going to move that here. Physician's assistant. Oh, I think that requires too much education. So I guess I would put that as a low. And you can see by moving these around, eventually you could end up with a top five or a top three. And you might have to do it like, okay, now you've got the middle ones and the top ones. Okay, so, you know, add it, like say this was a middle one. So do you think that you're higher on kindergarten teacher or accountant? Oh, I think actually kindergarten teacher is higher. Okay, so we'll move that down. So you could do a whole moving them around for them. And they could be looking and watching if you want to share the screen or if you're in a Google Doc. You could also have them go off and do this. You know, just say, why don't you just prioritize these? And so this is another way of doing it that would meet the objective, which is to decide which of those are the ones they want to research. You don't have to use numbers. Comments, questions? Out of those, I'm going to show you a couple, or at least one more. Out of those, which one do you think you'd start off with a more artistic client? And you would offer, you know, we can do this, this, or this.
I would suppose it would depend on whether a person was looking at adults and their personal issues versus teaching little ones to have a good foundation to begin with, to learn to play together. But I would think for an artistic person, probably be more the kindergarten teacher. I mean, I go that way as opposed to social work. Is that what you were asking?
No, I was asking which of these techniques.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Which you think you would want to use. So would you want to use the simple numerical? Would you want to use the criteria? And actually, let me put those back up for you. The yes, no for the criteria, yes or no, prioritize them. And I'm going to give you a couple more ideas, but is there something there that appeals to you?
So Donna, here's what I'm thinking, and I'd be interested in anybody's feedback on this. But when I think about what to, like I would maybe start with the regular matrix. And have a conversation about it and then gauge the client. And if they're feeling resistant or just seems to not resonate, I would then go to maybe the simple numerical one. And if that doesn't resonate, then I'd go to the maybe yes or no one. I suspect one in there would work, but that's sort of intuitively what I would, how I would approach it. But I'm interested in other thoughts on that. It could confuse the client. I don't know.
Considering that I had a client who did not like the career matrix itself with all the numbers, I agree with you, Ariana, because that one didn't work. So having the simple one and seeing if that would work, she could not get her head around what the heck we were trying to do, you know, with the criteria versus, there was resistance. There was a ton of resistance. And so going to the simple and then going to the yes or no, if those didn't work, our last conversation was, what is holding you back? What, something is like a wall. So what does that wall look like? And she went away to figure out what that block was.
And the resistance could be fear of settling on a career, or it could just be the methodology. And we never want to give them a methodology that's getting in their way. As I'm looking at this, I'm thinking I would move prioritize above just yes or no. I would think, you know, some people even could get yellow stickies and just kind of move them and put them in order. I'm going to put a subcategory there of yellow sticky as an option. I'm thinking that's still more granular than just vote yes or no on each career. I think, you know, that's where you're starting to get where it's, you know, you're not analyzing all the criteria. Any other ideas or ones that you would want to try out of what's here so far?
I'm just curious, is B and D the same thing?
Or no, B is saying yes or no on each criteria.
Oh, okay.
And D is just, yes, I'm interested, no, I'm not interested.
Okay.
But you would do a discussion first. So I guess there's a discussion here. Career. And then another idea that came to me was you could have the client paint a word picture of what it would be like to do the job, and you might also contribute to that word picture. And just now I thought of, you could have them draw what it would be like to do each one. And that might give them insight that they wouldn't have by just looking at the word or finding pictures that, you know, so yeah. So I would think pictures would be another example of ways to do it. So does that seem like something, like having them paint a picture of?
Since my artistic person was an artist, painting a picture would be really good. She used to, when we were talking ideas, she would paint a picture and send me a PDF of it.
Excellent. Excellent.
Another sort of visual way that I would think of to do this too, if someone is creative, also likes, is to create a Pinterest board of, you know, visually what a job would look like for them, or multiple Pinterest boards, or be another kind of visual way to do it.
Excellent. And it could be one for each type of job, and then they could come back to it and look at it and see what's pulling at them.
Yeah.
So I may ask you to help me write this one up, Carissa. So I'll send it and see if we can get it. Any other ways you can think of that we haven't thought of? Yeah, kind of wish Vicki was here, because I think the numbers are a bit uncomfortable for her, and I would like to hear how she would do it. So maybe we'll get her to give some input as ways as well. But so this gives you more options, more ways to approach it, choices. And is there anything on here that I need to put on here that will remind you of what these each are? Or do you think seeing this list now would remind you?
I think this is a good reminder.
Okay, great. Okay, well then we can move on to the next topic. I hope this expands your tools that you can use with clients. And so the next agenda item, well, it's not coming up, is how to, okay, so that's the list, how to work with other ABLED clients. And I'm going to put a list up. I did attach this to your agenda when it went out. We talked about a few, so I underlined them, but I thought what we could do today is actually do a demonstration of coaching, and maybe we would each shipped off and, you know, one do it for a while and then another. I'll be the client. You guys will coach. And I thought what we could do, I highlighted ones that I thought were more common, and I thought we could pick a more common one. And I'll be that client, and we will do a set of things with this. ADHD is very common. And there are specific requirements for the job you would select if you're ADHD. Depending on the person, it would be different. Asperger's, I think, is quite common. Epilepsy, MS, Parkinson's, back injury, neck injury. I'll tell you that if you pick Parkinson's, and I would call that Parkinson's / dystonia, or back injury or neck injury, I have personal experience, so that makes it easier for me to be the client. But we want to pick something that you think will be the most valuable to you in coaching people. Thoughts?
I've never coached anyone with those particular things.
Okay.
So I'm rather uncomfortable with that.
Well, that's good. Then we're going to push you into your uncomfort zone.
So I don't know which one we should start first, but I just want to share, you know, when I look at this list, I see sort of these things in two categories.
Okay, good.
One being something that's visibly apparent, so that may need to be addressed earlier rather than later. And then second, not apparent, but may need to be addressed at some point, and how does that happen? So that's how I look at those.
Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm.
There's another one here that we don't have, I don't believe. That is brain injury, closed brain injury.
I think we have it, but maybe I thought we did.
21.
Well, short-term memory brain.
Oh, okay. I didn't see that.
Yeah, I just didn't have it all the way down. Excellent. I think that's an excellent way to talk about it. Would you want to do something that's apparent or something that's not apparent?
It would be good to do both, but
okay. Well, let's pick two. So, and what's weird is Parkinson's MS could be apparent or could not be apparent depending on where the person is in it. ADHD could be or not be too. So, but any votes? Should I just pick?
Yeah.
Okay. I think we should pick ADHD because I think it's so common. And what if we pick Parkinson's dystonia just because it's something that would be apparent? And also is something that happens, and it really impacts people in their work. And really, the same things would apply to MS, Parkinson's, dystonia, essential tremor. Really, a lot of the same questions would be for all of those. It's just a matter of seriousness. So let's start with ADHD. And who would like to coach? Oh, wait, here, let me give you the topics. The topics are looking at career, what do you need and what do you need to avoid? How to select specific jobs and how to talk about it in interviews. So those are the four topics for ADHD. And I'm just going to jump in and say, Carissa, I'm picking on you. You are especially talented at coaching to the who. I see you as very, very good at that. So I'm going to be an ADHD client, and I want you to start with helping me to identify criteria that we would need in order to evaluate careers.
Okay. Okay. Great. Well, Donna, I really appreciate being with you in this space, and I'm grateful to get to really get to the heart of some of what you need in considering your ADHD. So, off the top of your head, what are you aware of for criteria in the job that you're looking for that you need?
Well, I know that I can't sit still, so I can't be at a desk all day.
Okay.
So I think that has to be something we're looking at in deciding my career.
Okay. So not sitting at a desk. You mentioned, you know, not sitting still. So you know that you're not at a desk. What do you know about, like, what you do need? Does that mean you can move from desk to desk within a work area? Does that mean you need to be inside or outside? Tell me some more about, tell me some more about that.
Okay. I could sit at a desk for maybe 10 minutes.
Okay.
I need to be touching and physical, and outside would be awesome.
Okay. So interactive work, being able to touch, move things, is that what you're saying?
That would be the very best if we could make that work. Yeah.
The very best. Okay. And you would enjoy being outside?
Yes.
Okay.
I love being outside.
Okay. Okay. Anything else that comes to mind around what you need?
I have trouble with details, and so I either need really structured processes that help me remember the details, or I need something that helps me, or I need somebody else to do that part for me.
Okay. Okay. So, you either need to not be doing work that involves details, or you need a very specific structure that helps you handle the details.
Yeah.
Okay. And which of those would you prefer? Do you have a preference between?
I'd rather not deal with the details.
Okay.
But, you know, I can do it. I mean, I've had help in the past and with school and everything. And so I can do it if somebody helps me create a way to do it.
Okay. So ideally, no detail work, mm-hmm. but you do have the capabilities, you know, to and you know, have a sense of what to ask for to help you with that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it would be good if somebody could help me, but I have ideas of things that would help too. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Beautiful. How helpful is this so far?
I think these are important things to keep in mind. I think they might be some of the most important things to
okay.
keep in mind.
Anything else as far as the most important things?
Well, some people say that I, especially if I'm rushing or there's stress, that I don't say things the most eloquent way.
Okay.
Sometimes I hurt people's feelings.
Okay.
So I don't know what that means as far as what career would work for me, but I think, you know, I couldn't be a doctor telling people, you know, what's wrong with them or.
Okay.
You know, it's like an ER doctor sounds interesting, but I think I might get too revved up and kind of not, you know, answer the best or say things the best way. Or like I thought about an EMT. Mm-hmm. EMT seems better because it seems like they don't have to talk as much. It's just, you know, you just tell them lay down, don't move, you know. But with a doctor, you kind of have to talk to them. So.
Is it like the bedside manner? They kind of.
Yeah. My mom says I wouldn't be a very good supervisor.
Okay. And what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't like getting in trouble.
So. Okay. Okay.
I get in trouble a lot.
And so my curiosity around that is that if you're drawn to something that someone has said you wouldn't be good at that, you know, would there be some coaching for us to do around the communication and those situations for you that might help you step into that? Or, but if you're not interested in them, we don't have to go there. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I think it would make my life better if we worked on those anyway, because I get in trouble with my friends and my mom and, you know, but, and so maybe down the road someday I could do that. But okay. For now, I think it would just be good if I could just hold a job and not make people mad.
Okay. So if that concern comes up as we're speaking about career or the criteria, will you just let me know and we can kind of navigate that together?
Yeah. But so what criteria have you, based on what we're talking about, what do you think we should have as criteria?
Well, so based on this conversation, it sounds like in maybe high pressure situations that the communication can be difficult for you. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. So perhaps the criteria may be a calmer work environment.
I think that sounds good
for you.
Yeah, okay. That sounds good.
Okay. Can I press pause and just find out, like, are you needing me to hand this off to?
I will hand you off now, actually. This would be a good time. But so just to recap, the criteria I would have captured is work with hands, not at a desk, calmer, doesn't require social, you know, a lot of social interaction, something like that. You could shorten that up, but okay. Awesome. I'm going to pick on Chris so she can get it over with. Chris, let's do the how to interview. So now I've selected a job, and what you want to do is ask me questions to help me or give me guidance to help me talk about these three things, not sitting still, details, and you know, having a calmer environment. Kind of coach me on how to navigate that in an interview.
Okay. Well, Donna, it looks like we are getting ready for an interview. How great is that?
I'm really excited. I guess we should have chosen what the interview was for. Let's say it's a veterinary tech position.
And I understand it's a veterinary tech position?
Yeah.
How wonderful. So in order to prepare for that, what kind of questions do you think that you might be asked?
Well, I think they're going to ask me about the record taking that I need to do, and they're going to ask me about how I do with animals, and how I do in emergency situations if an animal's really sick and their, you know, their owner's upset.
Okay. So which would you like to take on first? Record taking?
You just choose.
Okay. You had mentioned wanting to be in a calmer environment. So tell me, how would you handle an emergency situation when a client might be upset and their dog or their animal quite ill?
Well, I know I'd be more comfortable focusing on the animal than the customer, but I know that if you taught me what to say to somebody who's upset about their animal and I practiced it, that I'd be able to say it.
If you were faced with a person who is upset, say for instance you were upset, what would you want someone to say to you to calm you down?
We're going to do the best we can for your pet. I know what the problem is. This is what we're going to do to help your animal.
How does that make you feel, just answering that?
Makes me feel calmer. So I guess if I was talking to somebody that had an animal that was sick, saying those things would be helpful.
So if the veterinarian was asking that question, how would you handle an emergency situation? Can you just say that back to me?
I would tell the owner, the veterinarian is really good at what they do. They know, you know, they're able to figure out what's wrong and they're going to give your pet the best care they can.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that
was
good.
Does that make you feel a lot better, a little more confident on that?
Yeah. I'm really worried about the record keeping because I know that the tech has to do the record keeping or has to do some of the record keeping.
So we should go to that next?
Yeah, I'm worried about that.
Okay. You had mentioned that sometimes it's difficult with details. However, if you had a process that you could follow, then you would feel more comfortable. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
Most vets have a process for intake and the process for record keeping on the situation for the animal and so forth. So if I were the vet and I was asking you, how would you handle record tracking? What kinds of things come up for you as far as a process?
Well, I would say if you tell me and show me, especially show me how you want the records to be filled out, that I can learn it. I'll be honest and admit that won't be my strength, but over time I will learn it. And if you show me how to do it, I can learn to do it. I'm probably going to be better at cleaning the cages and feeding the animals and calming the animals down and those kinds of things. That'll be my strength. I'm a hard worker. I love to get things done. I love to see things clean. But I know that I can learn to do the paperwork too.
That is fantastic. What I always see when we're talking together is that when you're thinking through these things, you become more calm. And I believe that transmits to the animal to calm them down. You have a connection there. And you're very transparent. You explained what could be something that is difficult at first, but if you're shown how to do it, it's easy for you to learn.
Yes, that's
fantastic.
True.
In looking at record keeping, if I were the vet asking you about that and you were very transparent and he said, or she said, okay, what I hear you say is that sometimes details can be rather missed, but with learning, you can do my process. How comfortable are you if you made a mistake? What would happen if you made a mistake? How do you feel about that?
I'd be embarrassed, but I would tell you right away, and I'd ask you for help and how to resolve it.
Fantastic. Being truthful and transparent is wonderful.
Yeah, so and then if we can color code things or make certain things bold or you know, that kind of thing helps me remember to fill everything out.
And that might also help them improve their process.
Well, that's true.
So that's a plus.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so that's a great example, Chris. And Chrissy, you did a great job too. Now let's say that I have to select between two jobs. And one of them, let's see, what can it be? One of them is mechanic in an auto shop, and one of them is a mechanic in a manufacturing site. And let's have Ariana ask some questions around that to see if you can help the person decide which one.
Okay. So congratulations on receiving two job offers. Or mechanic position. This is the position that you are going after. So congratulations. So just starting off, I mean, how do you feel? Do you have any initial thoughts about either of these positions?
They both sound really fun. I think I like the auto mechanic one because it feels like more of an environment I'd feel comfortable in. And the manufacturing one has better benefits.
Okay. So what are you trying to decide here?
Which one to take? They've offered me both of them, so I don't know which one to take.
What would help you make this decision?
I don't know.
Have you ever made a decision like this before? Maybe not.
No.
But just, you know, decisions.
No, maybe just which class to take.
Okay. So do you remember that, how you decided between classes?
I decided based on what sounded more interesting.
Okay. So would it help to go over your original criteria?
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay. So your original criteria, back when we were looking at possibilities, you talked about moving, working with your hands, not being able to touch and touch and work with your hands, not dealing with a lot of details, and working in an environment that didn't feel rushed or stressed. Does that cover mostly?
Yeah, those are great okay. things.
So,
and I think when I think about it, I think the manufacturing seems stressed.
Does it? Okay. What is it about the manufacturing that makes you feel?
Everybody looked really tense when I went there.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. And the mechanic at the auto shop seemed like they were more relaxed.
Okay. more relaxed. All right. Okay. So that's the environment. Is there anything else that you noticed about the environment? You said both sound fun.
I was a little more worried about how you say things in the manufacturing. You know, it seemed like the auto guys didn't really care as much how things were said.
Okay. So was that a good thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you liked in the manufacturing site the fact that you could just be more casual?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So what about with respect to the dealing with details? Which one, if you look at the auto shop or the manufacturing site?
Manufacturing seems more detailed. I think that I should take the auto mechanic job. It seems like it's meeting the criteria better.
Okay,
so let's stop there. We just have a couple minutes, so let's just do a couple of minutes of the Parkinson's world. It could be MS world. It could also be back and neck injuries. So for criteria, Carissa, you did criteria last time. Ariana, why don't you do criteria?
Okay. And it's MS?
MS or Parkinson's, either one.
Okay. So Donna, you're looking for a new job. So that's exciting. Tell me a little bit about what you feel you need in your next job, particularly where you just brought up the fact that you have MS Parkinson's.
You can just choose one.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about what you feel you need.
I need a part-time job. I don't have the stamina to work full-time anymore. And where I am right now, they don't want me to go part-time. So I need to find a part-time job.
Part-time job. Okay. So what does that part-time job look like then? What kinds of things are you doing, want to do?
Well, I think it needs to be dealing with people, because I can't really handwrite anymore.
Okay.
And I have trouble typing.
Mm-hmm.
But I can talk to people and help them.
Okay. Is that something you enjoy?
Yeah, I do. I do.
Okay. So you mentioned that you can't handwrite. You said you have trouble typing. Do you have any capacity to type, or is it
a little bit, but it's not, I don't always know when that's going to be. I'm really up and down all day.
Okay.
So, and I would think that people wouldn't, like, I could work with people, but it might be better on the phone rather than in person, because unless people knew me, they're going to see that I shake sometimes. And so if it was customers, they wouldn't know what was going on.
Okay. So would it, so your preference is to be working with people on the phone. And what I'm hearing in that also is that it would be better for you, or more enjoyable for you, if you had to meet people in person, they were people that you had a relationship with.
Right. So it's like I could help people inside a company,
yeah,
or I could help customers on the phone, I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What else would you need or would find enjoyable in a position?
Well, I'd need to be able to get up and move and then sit back down. Mm-hmm. I think it could be mostly sitting, but I'd need to get up and move some and stretch.
Okay.
And I don't think it can be too stressful, because stress makes my symptoms worse.
Mm. So what do you find stressful? What's stressful for you?
People who are moving quickly or people who are frustrated.
Okay. All right. Okay. Anything else?
I know a lot about computers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love to use that in some way.
Oh, okay. And what do you know about computers? Their operating systems or more the hardware? How to?
Software. I'm really good with SAP and with MRP. And I've always been like a go-to person.
Okay.
I have answers to questions.
Hmm.
And we should probably stop there because we're running out of time. I love these demos and I always want to keep going with them because I love seeing you guys coach, but we run out of time. So what did you learn through doing this? I'll start with Chris. What did you learn about coaching other abled people?
Well, actually, I think it wasn't much different than coaching a regular person. I mean, as far as the questions are very similar.
Yeah. Yeah. And we all have strengths and weaknesses.
Yes.
So every person, it's just, I like to think that people have a box, and when they're other abled, maybe their box is smaller, but there's still wonderful things inside the box. Mm-hmm. There's still some way you can contribute. So, and it might be unpaid for some of these people, but it's still a way to contribute. So it kind of got rid of some of your stress around it. Sounds like
Chris. Yes. Yes.
Okay. Carissa, what did you learn about coaching other abled people?
Yeah, I think a similar thing, the types of questions and the way that I was thinking about relating to the person is very much like I would relate to anyone looking for, you know, what do they need, and connecting with them, drawing that out. And then I love hearing others coach too. It helps. That I enjoy that a lot.
Yeah. Ariana, what did you learn about?
Yeah, very similar. I think it's important for the client to understand that they have strengths and they're able to contribute as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think, as with any other client, some will believe that and some will have their confidence may not be as high. So I think it's really important to reflect that where there is value and strengths, to emphasize the fact that, where you're seeing there's opportunities for them. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting because as I was listening to criteria, I was going through in my brain, trying not to do this, but having a balance of, okay, what are some possibilities for careers here? And it's creating a picture for me. So not that I would share that right away, but I'm starting to get some ideas, which is kind of fun. Anyway.
Yeah. So when I would do this kind of coaching, I'd be writing down possibilities that I was coming up with or they were coming up with, or, and also the criteria, and I'd be writing both of those. And I think confidence is really an important aspect. I think confidence is a big issue for people that are other abled. They meet with prejudice. They are looked at differently, and they may encounter some prejudice, but they only need to find one job, and there will be people that will need their skills. But yeah, you definitely need to look at the confidence piece, because they may feel, and there's messages through our society that they're not, you know, able to contribute, or, you know, they're different or whatever. But any job can be shaped different ways too. So maybe you can do 2/3 of it. Somebody else can do that other third. I know with my friend that had Parkinson's, she was a project manager. She couldn't type, she couldn't handwrite. So they assigned someone to go with her and take the notes and do the typing for her. And she was able to do the rest of that job for another 5 years. Mm. So confidence, I think, is really a good one. So excellent job. I think this was really fun. I hope you guys had fun and you took away some job search tips, some ATS and resume tips, some other ABLE coaching tips. And what was our third thing we went after? Getting prepared for the next session, which is going to be very rich. Lots of homework there. So thank you, everybody. The closing code, look at me, I'm remembering both.
Oh, my God.
You don't know if that's possible.
Anymore.
Oh, I do. The next time I'll forget. The last code is 578. That's 578. And I want to thank you all for your great contributions. I learned a lot from you today, and I hope you learn from each other as well. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Have to go get started on Katie's homework now.
No, now, right now.
I need homework.
Oh, man, it's going to take us all month. Okay, thanks. Bye-bye, guys.
Bye.